audios, go to www.wordchurch.biz. That's B-I-Z.
Well, we're live, too, as of this moment. So if you feel like saying something real crazy, you can. Just know that it'll be out there in the internet for years and years and years. And live tonight. If you said something silly that just came out your mouth, it might be just the thing some silly person needs to hear. I'm not getting many laughs here, ladies and gentlemen. There are people here. They're just not laughing. They're just out there. I may be kind of making jokes because I'm trying not to be critical on this. Not of you all. Turn to Ephesians. And I want to explain something. I can just hear, this is Ephesians 2, I can just hear something you hear sometimes. Oh, the Lord is so unknowable. We can never hear Him, never know what He's really trying to say. So we can just use our brains for everything. Have you heard that? People talk that sounds real holy and everything. I think more long time ago, although, you know, it's still around. I know that you're never going to maybe completely... Well, the way you become a believer is to know God, okay? So, there is a degree which we know Him, but there is another degree which it takes a long time to really know Him. You know that song we did last week? We did it last Sunday, actually. I don't think we did it tonight, but that song called The More. There's something about that song. It says it takes a lifetime to know Him. Well, it takes an eternity to know Him. But just to say you can't know much about Him or you can't hear Him and all that, that's just not true. I don't know where somebody got that. I think they got it from not the Bible. That's where they got it. Otherwise, somewhere else than the Bible. But just, you know, God's unknowable. We can't know God. He's so far above anything we could ever hear. Well, He's far above our thoughts. He's far above all kind of stuff. But He's also right here. And look what it says here about Him. Verse 13 of chapter 2 of Ephesians 2. That's not a new verse. That's just Ephesians 2:13. It's not some new thing they've paginated and numbered the Bible. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes, at one time, you were far off, it says here. At one time, you were far off. But you're made near by the blood of Christ. Well, what happened to this? You can't get close to God, or you can't ever know what He's going to do, and all this kind of stuff. As Kenneth Hagin used to say, I know what He's going to do. He's going to do exactly what He promised to do. Yeah. Boy, that's a relief. Go through life just praying maybe something might happen someday, but we never really know. Well, a lot of things you don't know. But to say you don't know anything goes against what Jesus has said. Do you know how many promises He gave? Do you know how many promises are in the New Testament? Let alone in the whole Old Testament. Do you know how many promises in the New Testament? I don't have any idea. But there's lots of them. Scott could probably tell you. It would be in a Dake's Bible. We'll be careful of that Bible. Dake seems to know everything, and everything's going to happen. He's got some good stuff, and he's got some stuff that... Where did he come up with that? But, you know, he's a good guy, but he had a very active mind, I'll say that. Good old Dake. There was a time when if you said something like that, you'd be thrown out of a church. That if you said anything about Dake at all... Do you know who Dake is? Oh, he knows. Okay. He was very much a dispensationalist and all this, but his Bible is very interesting and very good in a lot of ways. But it's kind of like Bullinger. He's got a Bible kind of like that too, but you don't know what wild thing he's going to get off on. I don't have a Bible, just this one. I don't have one that I put the Bible in and then everything I think on top of it. Some of the stuff I think's not bad. God gets His thoughts through. But I look back on my life and I remember saying a few things that weren't exactly totally perfect. Now, some wives, they think they know the psychological and spiritual profile of their husbands, and they can tell them everything, and vice versa. But it says, now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes, at one time, you were far off, have now been made near through the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus wipes all that far off stuff away. If you'll just take it by faith, it makes it to where you can hear things and know things. And you can know that what he promised he's going to do. He said, well, I promised, I prayed for something that didn't happen. Well, just hold on. Just hold on. I was going to say some things that I've waited a long time for and happened, but you all have had those things. So just use your own sermon illustrations. It says here, for he is our peace, who's made both one, that's Gentiles and Jews and everything, and has broken down the middle wall partition, was a wall between us, having abolished it in his flesh and enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances. There were commandments. You understand, the New Testament makes it clear that the commandments of the Old Testament have been superseded by the New Testament. But there's an awful lot in there, and an awful lot you can see, and a lot of things. I think really one of the big problems we have in this world is we have forgotten about the New Testament. I think there's a lot going on today that's really, really off. I'm sorry to say. And I don't say that as somebody that's just coming new into this. Where's that little thing? This is great. This is our directory. I didn't even know we had a directory. And guess what? I'm not in it. Neither Scott and Dana. Guess who made it in? Julie made it in. Why did she get in? Did Kent make it in? No. No, he's not there. This is what it is, and I'll just say this. This is great. This is the Thursday night directory. But they think that's all nations. They don't realize there's... some of them, they kind of think that.
We had that discussion this week.
That's exact discussion.
Somebody said, we made a directory, but they said, Saturday night's work church, and I said, it's all nations.
No, it gets awful confusing. I think it's about to all be all nations here. But we can still use the word church name, but that's great. Well, let's see if Doug made it. Did Doug make it? Yeah, Doug made it. But Lisa didn't make it. I just hope that this is not, the same thing as the book.
The book.
The book, the book that's of life. I hope that this is not an indication that Doug is going to make it, but Lisa isn't. But what it is, they think so much of their group, that's kind of it, and I like it. I'm not against it. But that's not why I didn't bring it up here. I don't know why they didn't put me in. Probably because I never come. I decided a long time ago I'd mess it up by coming, so I don't come. I'll come pick people up. I wander around once in a while just at the very beginning and the end. So who's that guy over there? But the reason I share this to you, this looks like something out of the Jesus People days, doesn't it? Doesn't it? It just looks so great. It's like it's like we went back in time and captured the Jesus People days. But the reason I brought that up was that I'm not somebody that just came up here and started to say these things. I've been observing things for a long time, and I just want to tell you, maybe it takes me a long time to get something, but when I get it, I finally get it. And I think in our time, there's some really messed up things in our Christian, the body of Christ on earth. What's the main one that I see? It's people thinking that they've got to figure out everything what to do because they couldn't possibly hear God. You ever run into anybody like that, Ken? He starts saying no. I thought, He just blew my whole sermon. He talks to people all the time, and he hasn't seen anybody like that. But there's a. I'm not saying there are people 100% that way. It's just like they don't get what I'm about to read you, or what I read partially, and I'll keep reading. It says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new person, one new man, so making peace. This is the most ridiculous illustration I've ever given, but it's the one that comes to my mind. It's ridiculous. When I was a kid, I used to watch this thing called Saturday Night Wrestling. I ran into somebody whose dad used to watch it. When my dad used to watch it, and see, you were in Kansas. They didn't have that, did they? On Saturday night, did they? Wrestling?
Boxing.
Oh, yeah. But this was wrestling. A guy by the name of Danny Williams, probably some of you remember Danny Williams, because he was on KOMA for a long time until they finally... He retired. I think he said some rather unusual things or something. I don't know. He's a really funny guy, though. But the older he got, the more he didn't care what people thought about what he said. But he was always kind of outspoken. But he was the MC of Saturday Night Wrestling, which they did somewhere in Oklahoma City. And they'd have, you know, there was a lot of wrestling going here, professional wrestling. It was mostly rigged and everything.
I remember that.
Yeah, it's mostly rigged. And, you know, just like professional wrestling, it's kind of rigged too, right? Isn't it supposed to be a lot of that?
More than slightly.
Yeah, it's kind of a, it's like a lot of churches. It's all a big act. Why did I say that? Why am I doing this? You know, everything's rigged. A lot of places you go, nothing unplanned is going to happen, okay? But what happened in this wrestling thing is, I remember one time, they started throwing chairs. And so then from then on, Danny Williams, he ended the broadcast by saying, watch out for flying chairs. Well, when All Nations started, it got going a year or two, and somebody came in, and he just sent chairs flying by. I guess he actually threw them, didn't he? He didn't just fall down on a chair and it moved. He just like knocked it out of the way. And I don't know if anybody said to him, well, yeah, you might take a little easy on the chairs, you know. But from then on, we said, watch out for flying chairs. It got a little wild in there, guy throwing chairs. And he didn't mean any harm. He was just really excited. But anyway, on that show, this is what happened one time. And I think it happened a lot of times. You understand, in wrestling, at least this is interesting, right? In wrestling, there are good guys and bad guys. It's just like the comic books, good guys and bad guys. And the good guys are against the bad guys, and the bad guys are against the good guys. Well, there was this guy by the name of Spider. And Spider retired. And Spider got a job on Saturday Night Wrestling being a referee. And all of a sudden, he went from being a bad Spider to the good guy. And he said, well, you know, he says, I can get down on these bad guys because it takes one to know one. And all of a sudden, it's all broken down, and he's one of the good guys, and everything's fine. My mom knew somebody in the office, and I won't mention names here, although he's departed now. He's a great guy, Church of Christ guy. And he was the enemy at her office. He was the enemy. And he didn't understand my mom. My mom was office manager of the, I think... It was, well, I can't say where, but in a university, in a university department. And they just didn't get along, and it wasn't sinking, and he was the bad guy and she was the good guy. But at some point, they figured it out. And they became friends, and he and his wife went all over the country with Mom and Lonnie. Isn't that something? And they became friends. This can happen. Spiritually speaking, this can happen. And it's what it's supposed to happen. The different groups are not supposed to be fighting each other. They're supposed to somehow or another, through some miraculous thing and a lot of prayer or something, come together. Well, this is saying that two of the big groups and the ones that just held on to the legalistic things and all that, that some way or another, they're really all one, and they ought to come together, and they ought to act like one. Why? Because that he might reconcile both into one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. It, in other words, he got rid of that. Yet, even today, we have so much misunderstanding and so much fighting, and so, you know, it's like some of the churches have these, and it's mostly something minor. Some of the churches have these rules, and you can't do nothing out of the Bible necessarily. Well, I don't care. That's like saying you can worship on the Sabbath or you don't worship on the Sabbath. You know what Paul said? Don't get down on somebody that picks a certain day that's better than another day. And you who's picked out the day that's better than another day, don't get down on the ones who haven't. That's because there are more important things. That was his stand on it. That was the spiritual stand on it. You know, Jesus got in trouble for doing certain things on the Sabbath. He got in trouble. He never got in trouble. He didn't care. But they would get down on him for doing some, why do your disciples do this? And so on and so forth. But he was great in the Sabbath. He said, Sabbath's made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And he was above it. The Son of Man's above all that. I wrote something on Facebook. Probably people are mad at me, but I said, God's above all the political parties. Oh, my. That really works somebody up. Jesus isn't a Tea Partier. He's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. He's not any of that stuff. He may like the principles of one above another, but some of the principles they have, he may not like. But whatever he thinks, he's above all of it. And here's the big thing. You've got to honor him above all of it. That's why he could have a zealot and a government stooge in the same, that was their background, Simon the Zealot and Matthew the tax gatherer. He was an enemy government agent. He would have administered Obamacare for those who really hate it. And then he had the weather runner who would have killed anybody who went to a doctor in Obamacare. What am I saying? I'm saying Jesus was above it. So don't get so worked up that you don't let Jesus be above it. I've got friends that they're so worked up. That's all you hear about is they're so worked up. And I've got them on all the political spectrum. All from one end to the other. And all of them, some of them of each spectrum get so worked up they can't hear anything on the other side. But Jesus, what he's done is he figured out how to do it. It's kind of like if you have a bunch of buildings and everything in a place and they got big walls. You know, somebody had a vision long, long ago that the waters came and it went up over the walls. And you could just ride a boat anywhere. If you're above everything, you see things so much clearer, more clearly. So much clearer. But he broke down everything. That's what we're saying here. But we're saying more than that. And he came and preached peace for you. See, they didn't have peace. If you're into the law and you're totally obsessed by rules and all this, then you don't have peace because you know you'll never live up to it. This is what Paul said. He said this. He said the law showed us we can't keep it. I'm doing it in my own words, but you go look what he said. Wow. But if you destroy all that stuff, which Jesus did, how it ruled you, had put you in bondage is what it says. If he destroys that, you're not in bondage anymore. But the big point I'm making tonight is you can hear God now. You've been brought close to God. And you can hear what he's really saying. He goes deeper and deeper and deeper. As Jim Spillman once said, did you ever hear Jim Spillman talk? Scott, did you ever hear Jim Spillman? I think he's still around, last I knew. But he came over to Tulsa one time and did this seminar. And he's just really great. He used to be around Catherine Kuhlman in those days. And he just had a lot of the Holy Spirit on him. You just walked in. He was kind of like they used to say about T.L. Osborne. Is T.L. Osborne still around? He doesn't know. Usually I ask him questions the whole time. He knows everyone. Today I'm in some area that he's doesn't have it. This guy in England told me this. He was not into American evangelists, especially famous ones and all that, but he believed in the gifts of spirit and everything, but he had his doubts about people like T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne at one time had talked to more people face to face than anybody. He went to overseas and I think Africa or India. He was trying to be a missionary and he just couldn't get it done. And he came back and prayed and found out what he needed to do is to believe God, that God would work miracles and stand out and stand on the water and go out there. And he did that. And he just started lining people up and saying, you know, getting their religious folks to try to heal them and let God heal them. And God would heal them. So he had a great thing happen. Well, here's what happened. This man in England, this preacher from Southampton, or Portsmouth, one of the two, he went to see T.L. Osborne and some other preachers in, I think it was Earl's Court or somewhere in England, at some big hall in London. And he goes down, I think it's London, and he goes down and he watches and he sees T.L. Osborne is going to speak. And he's got all these doubts about T.L. Osborne. This is what this guy told me. And he was a very silly guy and a very honest guy, and he used to act like a bishop by putting a tea cozy on his head. But anyway, if you know what a tea cozy looks like, it looks like a mitre that they wear on their heads. He would be the bishop and make some. Anyway, this guy, he went to see T.L. Osborne. This is what he said. He went there and he saw T.L. Osborne sitting on the stage, you know, and he was supposed to speak. He said T.L. Osborne stood up and went to the lectern. He said, but there was so much anointing in that place and on T.L. Osborne that from the time he got up and walked from his seat to the time he went to the lectern, he had no doubts about it at all. When you get around the anointing, you think differently. It's because you're around God's thinking. A lot of times we get down on somebody, but it's because of minor things or things they've done that seem crazy to us. But then you get around God, and God, what did God do with Jesus? He says, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. I'm sure that happened. People say, who's this Jesus coming here? What's this? And then the anointing comes down very strongly and all their doubts go away. Well, it says here, this is what I'm getting to. He came and preached peace to you which were far off and to those who were near. For through him we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Does that reconcile with we can't know anything about God and we can't hear God and you know, it doesn't. That one thing is what I think one of the big problems in the world is right now in the body of Christ. Because if you don't hear God and you don't hook up with the scriptures, you don't really get understanding. You can read the scriptures all day, but you've got to have the Holy Spirit to get it.
Yeah.
You ever read something you read a lot of times and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit hits you with it and you've got it. I think there are a lot of people, some of them teach on radio, and they've got some things, but other things they just don't have at all. And they speak what they don't know, and they write books about what they don't know. There's one guy, and I mentioned it last time, I'm not going to say his name, but he was writing stuff about, well, you know, these meetings and these people. Now, this is a book that was published in 2013. And it's a very big seller right now among certain groups of people. He got to talking, I don't know exactly what, because I saw a blurb on it. I'm going to have to get the book and see what it is for sure. But I know this, that it talked about, it's the blurb on his that's in this magazine selling the book. So I'm assuming they wrote the thing. And it said he talks about barking. In other words, long ago at a revival in Canada, somebody barked. They had a meeting and somebody made a barking sound. And I thought, my My. This was dealt with long ago, and people thought, well, that's a little extreme, and that's it, and it's set off to the side, and there probably hadn't been any barking in Toronto for 20 years. I don't know that. This happened in what, 1994? That's 20 years. And I thought, he doesn't get this. He's picked out something that's negative, and do you realize that every big revival that's ever happened, people did silly things? People have done silly things at Billy Graham's things, I'm sure. With that many people, somebody's going to do something silly. Cane Ridge, I think people did something silly. I'm sure they did at Azusa Street.
Yeah, put a box on his head.
The preacher put a box on his head. He put his head under a box. I've wanted to do that many times, but I thought everybody'd walk out, so I never have done that. Say, well, he's done. That's Reverend Seymour. Yeah. He just wanted to be all God, so he put a box on his head.
Yeah. We're all spirit.
It's one of the great revivals. I mean, this ushered in a whole lot of things in the Gibson spirit being poured out on the church, but yet the guy put a box on his head. So don't put people down just because they put a box on their head and discount everything that happened. What they don't know is that there was intercession, deep intercession, going on before this. One of the last things Roy Rakestraw ever did concerning me, he copied off that whole book about that intercession. I don't think he knew it was in print now, but he found it, an old book in the Oral Roberts archives over there. And it was about the intercession that went on before Azusa Street. It's right before, not long before he died, Roy Rakestraw. But people discount that, and all they can think about is him putting a box on his head. Or somebody barking. That's because you're not understanding what's here. That same guy has just gotten on radio and had all kind of, puts down a lot of charismatic things. He actually went on PTL one time. And boy, did Paul Krause get mad at him. Has anything happened on Praise the Lord that was a little wild? Of course. But this guy was just knocking everything he could think to knock, and it was based on, well, if I don't understand it, I'm going to knock it and save these poor people. But we need to get beyond all that and get to this, that Jesus has made you where you can understand things. You may, you know, Kent may put a box on his head someday, but I'm still going to listen to him. I wonder what would happen if he came home that way. And had two holes bored out at the front so he could drive. We're going to still like Kent. We're not going to put him down because he had a box on his head. A lot of what we need to do is just chill and believe God. And be open to God. Open to God. Actually believe God can talk.
Yeah.
Now, when you first start really listening to God and everything, you may get an erroneous idea in your head. And the box goes right up. I'm not saying that was wrong for him to put that box on the head, but it might be for you. We've got to believe that God can talk to us. One of the big banes of the church in America is a guy by the name of Blank, who I won't say, back in the 1800s. And he came up with something, and you can read it in Randy, what's his name's books?
Randy Clark.
Yeah. Did I give you that book, Kent? Yeah. I wonder where it is. Seemed like I gave it to somebody. Maybe Doug. Maybe I loaned it to Doug. Doug's maybe as bad as me about getting books back. I've still got her Purple Pig after 5 or 10 years. I forget how long it is. And I ordered one, so I'd have one, and I'd give her that back. But somebody got it, and I've still got hers.
Well, at least I just don't pretend the Purple
Pig. Really? Where is it? Go get it right now and give it to Dana. And then I'll exchange, because she's been missing out all these years. All she gets is what I say about it. Wow, that's great. It's a great book. It's about some people that thought they would just pray. Their whole thing was about praying. And they started these prayer centers, and people would call them and come in. All kind of miracles happened because they thought you can pray. And last I knew, Dick Eastman was still over a big prayer thing after all these years. Well, it's gone. Somebody's got it.
At the grandma's house.
Can you remember to bring it to her?
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, we'll bring it to you. 2 weeks, because we won't be here next week. We may mail it to you, though.
That's right. I've done without it all these years.
Scott's the one who bought it. And it looks like he bought it. It is very old. But what we've got to do is believe God can lead us, which, by the way, that's what that whole book's about.
Amen.
A lot of it.
Amen.
That God can lead us, that God can talk. You may step out and you may think God talked to you, maybe didn't, but it's just like somebody on the phone. Johanna was telling me, a lot of times she says, "Dad," and I don't hear her. You know, we're in a group, and maybe at a ballpark, she says, "Dad, do you know how many people say Dad exactly like she does?" And you hear somebody say Dad, and you look around, and it's not there. So I did that for so long that I'm sort of dull to it. Sometimes she calls me Donald in last resort, and that works. But sometimes Donald doesn't work. I said, "Well, if Donald doesn't work, just call me Ward." You know, Ward Cleaver. Now, Ward almost always works. Ward and Juice. Ward and June Cleaver. Leave it to Beaver's parents, which is on all the time. I'm on his Facebook, by the way, and he tells me when he's going to go places. Tells us all, but there's not huge numbers of us on there. Beavers, not Wards. Wards left this world a long time ago, right after that series. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, good. Yeah. It's on early morning on TV Land or something every morning. On one of those, like Channel 5.2 or 4.2, it's on there every morning. Me TV or something. Yeah. Does God talk? Well, he says he does. And how many problems would that solve? Because we've got multitudes of people being taught that he either doesn't talk or barely talks. And doesn't talk enough. Scott's going to come up and try to make some sense of all this. He does a great job of it. Scott?
Let me begin tonight by saying it's important that we believe what God has said. It's important that we believe His Word. Not only this word, this Logos word, but the Rhema word, which comes to you as a at the moment type word that comes to tell you what to do. The Logos word is good enough because the Spirit anoints it to bring it to pass and bring it into reality. I don't want to read you something out of 1 Corinthians. Now, Paul had a problem with the Corinthian church. And if you read chapter 1, it talks about what it was. It was that they thought they were spiritual, but they were still carnal. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they had divisions. One said, "I'm of Christ." Another said, "I'm of Paul." Another said, "I'm of someone else." And so they had divisions. And he said, if you're still, after all this time, having divisions, then you're still fleshly, not spiritual. And so in chapter 2, here's what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things." Verse 10. Yes, the deep things of God. It's the Spirit that searches and delves into the deep things of God. You can go deeper in God only by the Spirit if He takes you there. In other words, He said, if you go up two verses to verse 8, He said, "None of the rulers of this age knew what God's wisdom was For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So the rulers didn't know that he was the Son of God when they crucified him. If they had known, if they had the revelation, they would not have crucified him. So it has to do with how much revelation you get by the Holy Spirit. How much revelation. As Don was talking, I was just jumping up inside because I was feeling what God is wanting to do and wanting to say. So in verse chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him." Foolishness. The wisdom of God becomes foolish to those who don't have revelation, that don't believe the same way that God wants you to believe. The natural man, he's talking about being natural and being spiritual. Are you a spiritual person or are you a natural person? "They are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." Not naturally discerned. You can read the Bible all day long without spiritual discernment and you won't understand it. Not deeply. You may understand the surface part of it or what happened. You'll understand the history of it, but you won't have the anointing behind it. The spiritual person judges all things. Verse 15, "Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So those who are in Christ have his mind, have his words, have his promises, have his commands. And Jesus said these words, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." How's he going to do that? He's going to tell you. He will teach you all things that you need to have, need to know. And he'll bring to your remembrance all things. And then the next verse says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace." Holy Spirit came to bring peace between those in division and to bring them into maturity. Because the church, when it's in unity, is grown into a mature position. That the church no longer is bound up into carnal thinking or earthly thinking or fleshly thinking, but they become spiritual and they look at each other in a spiritual way. They don't judge in a carnal way. Jesus said another place about the Spirit of truth. He said, "Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." This is important to know, that the Spirit that Jesus is sending and giving us will be in us, but it'll not be in the world. If you're still in the world, if a person's in the world, he will not receive the Holy Spirit, but only those who are in Christ. And then he says, "But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." There Jesus said, "You know him." That's the key. You know him. You get to know what the Spirit is saying and you listen to him. Praise the Lord. Well, Paul was a man who went overboard most of the time. And when he thought he was spiritual, he was still carnal. Because he was fighting against the truth. And he was persecuting the church. So let's look at Philippians and see what he says about what truly is important when it comes to knowing God. first thing is found in chapter 3, verse 7 of Philippians 3, verse 7. Right after he got through telling them that he was concerning the righteousness which is in the law, he was blameless. Paul was blameless. In other words, he almost kept it all. You know, he still had the internal sins. But on the outside, he was blameless, it says. They couldn't blame him for not following the law. He tried to do it to the uttermost. But verse 7, he tells us that after he received Christ, what things were gained to me, those I have counted loss for Christ. The first thing you have to do is to let the old things go. In order to get true wisdom, receive God's wisdom and His Word, you let the old things go. And Paul said, I just count them as loss. You get rid of those things. The problem that we find in the church today, in this area that Don was talking about, is that people don't really, really believe. There are a lot of times of Jesus, when he went to his hometown, it says he could there do no mighty works because of their unbelief.
Yes.
And who else should have believed but those who were around him when he grew up and saw his life and saw how he was perfect in stature and spiritual knowledge and wisdom. He had all this wisdom at 12 years old. 12 years old, he was talking with the wise people at the tabernacles, at the temple. So, Paul says, I count the things as a loss. Let it go. Lose it. Indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. This is his full statement of faith. Count all the things lost. Because why? Why did he lose them? Why did he lose his stature as a Pharisee or a Pharisee of Pharisees? Why did he lose stature of the things that he was doing? Why did he have to give them up? Because he gave his life to Jesus. And Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. And he was intercepted by the power of God. And he began to know Jesus like he'd never known God before. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. In other words, holding on, he's letting go of his own righteousness so that he can get a hold of God's righteousness. Jesus made him right with the Father in a way that he could not make himself right. And so, he wanted to be found in him and be established in the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Faith is makes the difference here in all of the understandings of the Word of God. And then verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Living a resurrected life. Jesus died, he was buried, he resurrected, came back to life. But in that resurrection, there is for you and me and everyone who believes a new creation, a new life being created and giving faith to, that we would walk in a new life. completely new, and it's a resurrected life. It's coming from the dead to life, coming alive. Most of the revivals that we've talked about have to do with people suddenly becoming alive in God. Suddenly things are completely different and changed. I remember in the early 1970s when we had lay witness missions. How many of you know what lay witness mission is? God was moving in all of the denominations at that time with a spirit of revival and stirring people up, and began to show people how that they could hear from God. Things changed. They would give testimonies in most of the denominational churches. But there was a revival thing happening in those times. And from that, you know, things like the charismatic movement and other things began to
they go on a mission. Develop. Like a bunch of people from one church would go way off somewhere and do one of these.
They'd make a team from one church, or maybe from many churches. Let's say Oklahoma City would make a team from several churches, but people who were newly, I would say, really found God, and that they have a new testimony. Either they were healed or they had some great testimony. And they would go on to another church, would invite the lay witness mission team to come there, and they would spend, I think it's 2.5 days or something. Was that right, Dana? 2 or 3 days. And during this time, they would sing songs, and they'd have people come up from these other churches and give testimony of how the Holy Spirit had intercepted their lives. And they made a new commitment to Jesus, and things were lively. And so people who were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit began to share that with other people, and others got hungry. And people in these churches got stirred up, and they began to do the same thing. And then they would go to another place and another place, and other people would get involved, and it just grew. It really grew. Even in the Catholic Church, they had charismatic meetings. So Paul says here, I want to know him. Well, if I know you, I also know what you say. That I can listen and understand what you say. If I know you, if I know God, then I must understand what he says. And be ready to listen. Proverbs says, incline your ear to his words and into his saying. Incline means to lift up and listen to what Jesus has to say to us. To know him and the power. To have power in your life. Jesus says he'll give you the power to live for him, to tell people about him, to minister his words, and it's all because of the Holy Spirit's living inside of you with power to spare. And we know that God did that to Paul. From the time he had hands laid on him, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was blind for a while, and then God opened his eyes. And I think that my thought was, God made him blind for a time so he could really speak to him and open his spiritual eyes, so later he opened his physical eyes. But his spiritual eyes were being opened all that time when he saw Jesus for the first time in the heavens, a bright light shining and Jesus talking to him. He understood the words, didn't he? Paul understood the words that Jesus was speaking. To know him. And then he says, I've not already attained or already perfect, but I press on to become mature, more perfect than I am today. Press on that I may lay hold of that which for Christ has also laid hold of me. Jesus died and set forth a new covenant so that he could lay a hold of us. You know? When I got saved, I just knew that God got a hold of my life. That's it. I didn't just suddenly find something. He got a hold of me. He arrested me. He apprehended me. And Paul here is saying, God got a hold of me. He apprehended me, and I want to apprehend him in the same manner so that we can be joined together and I can learn about him and he can learn about me. But he already knew. So tonight, let's just let's ask God to speak to us and give us the Holy Spirit in the same way that Jesus was talking there, that he would teach you things to come and he will show you all things. But Jesus couldn't tell them everything before he left. But he said, hey, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit so that I can still teach you. That's what he was saying. So that I can still teach you after I'm gone. Through the Holy Spirit's power. So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that is so precious. And the promises of God. Lord, we thank you for your commandments. We thank you, Lord, that you all that you have done all through the cross, through the resurrection, through the ascension, Lord, we now live a new life. And I pray, Father, that we can know you. As Paul said, I want to know you. And I know, Lord, that we just want to give up those things that we think are precious that may still be not of you. We want to let them go. We want to let go the things of the flesh. We want to let go the things of the mind. We want to let go the things of this world. We want to lose them. As Paul said, I count everything as loss so that I may gain Christ. So we want to gain you, Lord. So we ask, Lord, that you would minister to the people who listen to this message. Help everyone, Lord, who is desperate, calling out, asking for help. We pray, Lord, that you go help them right now and touch their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I have one other thing. Some of you heard me say this before. I had a professor one time in seminary. And as a whole, this seminary was considered sort of middle of the road, but there were some teachers there that might have been considered a little out there. This guy never considered him an evangelical. If I considered him anything, he was kind of, I would say he was spiritually kind of liberal, you know, on the liberal conservative thing. And he wasn't somebody that all the time would be saying, you know, believe the Bible and we know the Bible and we go by the Bible. He wasn't that kind of guy. But there are people who are talk about the Bible all the time, but yet they've got such a stronghold about God moving and God talking today that when they get to that area, they're just stuck. But here's a liberal guy. I'm fairly liberal, you know. He's in Kansas. They're not real far out in Kansas, are they? He's from Kansas. So he didn't tell me that either. He's just not going to answer my questions tonight. But they started in this education class. They started talking about Christian education. They started talking about miracles. Or he did. This liberal guy, you know? You think, oh, well, they don't believe in miracles and stuff. You know what he said? He said something like this. He said, a guy'd be a fool not to believe in miracles today. You can see that they're all over it. They happen all the time. He's talking about healings and things. Now, you're telling me that somebody that says the Bible's true and always talking about the Bible, this guy I'm talking about one time, that I said wrote a book, everything. I showed up at a church one time and he was there speaking in Kowloon, Hong Kong. And the guy out in front, the little guy out in front, I walked in and says, oh, are you with Mr. So-and-so? And I says, who, Mr. Who? I couldn't understand. He was saying his name. I knew his name very well. I go in there and the guy gives a sermon about the Bible. It's very good. But you're telling me that somebody that always talks about the Bible and they believe every word of it and all this, and they just say the problem is people don't get in the Bible, they don't really believe the Bible, that this guy would miss what God's doing and just talk about people barking or something, you know, or putting a box over their head. But here's this liberal guy that you would think, I'm trying to blow your mind a little bit because it blew mine. This guy that you would think, oh, just disregard him. But all of a sudden, out of his mind, says you'd be a fool not to see God's doing miracles today. He didn't have that stronghold, did he? One time Larry Brown said he went down, you know, he went to so many places and did so much intercession in so many places. He had something he said God was trying to do in some town in Alabama or somewhere, Georgia, and he couldn't find anybody to help him do it. But this liberal mayor, who on the political spectrum and spiritual spectrum, probably everything, was a liberal, he's the only guy who could get to help him. What's this? Because God turns everything. God will use somebody that will listen to him, even if they don't agree with us on every little thing. And people who do believe like we do in a lot of ways, they can have a total stronghold on what God's trying to do to stop them from doing what God's trying to do. I mean, a donkey God used to talk to Balaam. A donkey! I'm not liking my professor to a donkey in any way, shape, or form, or the guy down in the mayor of certain town. I'm telling you, be open to what God's doing. If you don't watch it, you'll be like the guy I'm talking about who talks about the Bible and everything, but God comes right to him trying to tell him something, and then they're not listening. It's blocked. Wow. Those people that were in those lay witness missions, a lot of them were liberal Methodists, if you want to know. That had been they'd been taught by people from Perkins Seminary. I shouldn't say that. For some of you know why. I shouldn't say that. But that's one of the seminaries, or St. Paul's up in... And St. Paul's probably wasn't much different than mine. Maybe a little more radical. But what I'm saying is, a lot of the people that were in the lay witness mission, they were in real liberal denominations. But God got a hold of them, and God could use them. Maybe because he couldn't get a hold of the conservatives. You think? He found somebody that would listen to him. That's what he's always listening. I mean, Paul was one of the hardest-headed guys in the world. But God used him. You talk about hard-headed. Some of the people wrote some of these books, they weren't nearly as hard-headed as Paul was. You know what Paul did? He went and tried to throw people in jail. Yeah. Do you know any of these guys that write the real conservative books that put down charismatic things and all that? Has any of them tried to get somebody in jail? No, I don't think so. Paul was the hardest case, and God got him. He was such a hard case that the Christian leaders themselves in Jerusalem had a lot of trouble accepting him. So let's open up to God and believe God can speak and God can do anything. Lord, we just thank you, for this meeting and what you do in this place. And we're just real thankful for it. And we're thankful that you do talk to us and you do tell us things. And we just ask you, Lord, that the people that are fighting that you'll just melt them. And that you'll make us all one, and that you'll cause us to raise up together, and we'll be irresistible.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.